Hi, this is Floyd Richards. Well, I'm not usually here on Friday, but it's a pleasure to be with you on a Friday afternoon for Mike Line. And in to join me in just a moment, I believe, will be a surprise. Bob Ellsworth, you say, huh? Well, he's not sending any record for the dash here, but anyway, we'll be here from now until 2 o'clock, and here he comes. Hey, golly, you're not as fast as you used to be there, buddy.
When you're going through the halls and there are things like doors sticking out, you may never be fast again.
Hi. Hello there. Well, I said we were here from now until 2. I forgot to give the phone numbers, which are most important. 527-4188 in the Hartford area. And in Springfield, New Haven, and Hamden, you may call us here on Mike Line with your questions and answers free of charge, toll-free, by asking your operator for Enterprise 98-FOA-2. Right.
Hi.
we have an upside-down one there.
I think we ought to do a little something about the reflexion here.
All right.
I can just
while we're doing that, why don't you take the honors?
I see it. Right. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I have an answer for the lady who has this garbage can problem, who was on the radio yesterday.
Yes.
And she wants to know how to keep her garbage cans clean. She's tired of carrying them to the driveway. Well, it just so happens that in the TV magazine section of last Saturday's Hartford Times, on page 20, there's a small ad there that tells where she can get these plastic garbage can liners.
I see.
If she's interested. I know I've used them myself, and I find that they're simply great.
Well, then this is the information that sought, and we've got it now,
right? I'll tell you, it keeps your garbage cans clean,
right.
And you don't have to carry that heavy garbage can out to the curb.
Okay, well.
So if you'll tell her to look on page 20 of last Saturday's TV magazine section of the Hartford Times, I'm sure she'll be very satisfied.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Right, bye-bye.
One of those wonderful old gags about wrapping fish in newspapers and all that.
Yeah. I wonder where this lady came from originally. She sounds like
Fulton Street,
a neighbor of me. Mine. garbage cans. Hello, this is Mike Line.
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if anyone could tell me if they knew what to give a dog. I have a Cocker Spaniel.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to clip him. But I can clip him just so much, and then he gets kind of restless and starts nipping and so on.
Yeah.
And I wondered if anyone could tell me what they could give him that would be harmless, but to keep him quieted down until I got through clipping him.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, have you asked a veterinarian yet?
No, I didn't. No, because we do have him clipped by the vets once a year.
Yeah.
But I thought in between times I could do it myself.
Yeah. Well, he might be able to tell you of something that may be done to quiet him while you do the clipping job.
Yeah, maybe some kind of a tranquilizer or something.
Well, there are tranquilizers for dogs. Now, I certainly would check with the vet before going into that. But
yeah.
We'll see what we can find out.
All right.
For.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I have everything for dogs these days, right? You know more about these things than I do.
No, I haven't had a doggy in a long while, but they have made some miraculous progress in miracle drugs for dogs. It's true. They've actually lengthened the life of animals now.
Yeah, they're psychologists.
I asked once a few months ago, Floyd, whether the old ratio of 7 to 1 was still true in the length of years of dogs for one year of human life. I'm not sure whether that's been reduced enough, but their life has been lengthened at any rate. Another call on Mike Lane. Good afternoon.
Oh, is this Floyd?
No, this is Bob Ellsworth.
Oh, hi, Bob. I enjoy listening to you. I wish to remain anonymous.
All righty.
I, as a user of a large cosmetic firm, I have discovered in using one of their products that by adding a certain little something to it, that this particular thing comes out much better, or it's nicer to use. Now, what I want to know is sort of, I'd like to find out if this is sort of an invention or something that I could write to the company and let them know that this product would be more desirable with this thing added to it. First, what should one do? Write to the company or take it to an attorney? This suggestion. Oh, a patent attorney or what
well,
have you to, you know, try to get...
That's the magic word. Would you mind if I inserted that just, you know, to keep Mike Lyon where it is and your thoughts on your side? Can we suggest this? See an attorney. That was the key word.
This
is only because we like to remain completely neutral of any professional advice, leaving that to the professionals. Is that okay? Well, I think you'll find the attorney is the secret, the key to the whole thing.
He should be consulted first.
Definitely.
I mean, as a protective measure on my part.
Definitely.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Bob.
You're certainly welcome.
Bye-bye.
Nice to talk with you. Bye-bye. Also, to keep us away from the attorneys. And right now, we won't need a lawyer to understand the translation of this.
Taste it.
Taste what?
Try not.
The only margarine with the Danish difference.
Try not.
Margarine.
The real test of any margarine comes when you spread it on bread. Spread Try Not margarine and taste the Danish difference. The natural flavor of the only margarine made the Danish way. Try Not is naturally better because it's made without the chemicals and preservatives found in other margarines. And Try Not margarine is never hydrogenated. You get fresher flavor, too, because the Danish way of making margarine calls for nature's finest and freshest ingredients. Make the real taste test of margarine today. Spread Try Not on bread.
The only margarine with the Danish difference.
Try Not.
Margarine.
Thousands of Hartford families are already enjoying the Danish difference of Try Not margarine, the terrific taste that comes from Try Not's exclusive Danish process. Now you try some today.
Our numbers once again here on Mike Lyon, if you have a question or an answer, 527-4188 in the Hartford area, or if you live in Springfield or New Haven or Hamden, you may call us toll-free by asking your operator for Enterprise 9842, as this person has done. Hello?
Hello?
This is Mike Lyon.
Well, this is Dr. Doug at Hamden.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering if, probably Dave Rubin might be on this afternoon sometime, if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I have two very old chairs mm-hmm. that are stenciled, and I want to use some of his cleaning material as he's getting it over the mic line first, and one of that would disturb any of the stenciling.
Oh.
And no doubt sometimes he is on and would answer this, I suppose.
All right, we'll try to keep
him on. And another thing I want to speak about. Here last week we were talking about that game we played with the peg, remember?
Yes.
Anyway, it came to me as I was thinking 65 years ago, at 9 years old, I played that game. I began it anyway. Played for many years, the kids up in Vermont. And
right.
We used to call it mumbly peg. Where they ever get the mumbly from, I don't know, unless some guy did mumble all the time. I don't know. You know how those things are with country boys.
Yes, yes, indeed. All right. Well, thank you. We'll try and find out an answer to your question.
It's very good indeed.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Well, I was going to say mumbly peg, and I often wonder where the mumbly portion of it did originate.
I don't know. And I don't even know how you spell the mumble. Is it Mumbly or Mumblebee?
One of those criminals, his first name is Mumbles.
Is it Mumbly?
Mumbly Peg?
You say Mumbledee. I don't know. I'm asking.
Very catchy. I don't. Maybe somebody can give us that information.
We used to call it water polo.
Really?
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have lost a needle in a feather pillow. And I was wondering if anybody has any idea how I could find it. Kind of silly thing to do.
No, it's not silly, and neither is your question here. I was wondering how a magnet would work out.
Well, we were thinking of that, and we don't have one, but we were wondering if there would be anything else outside of the magnet. Just running the magnet over the whole pillow, you mean?
Yeah.
On both sides.
Oh, there's another thing, too. Is there any possible way of getting those feathers out of the pillow?
Well, by opening it up and shaking them out, but... Who knows where the feathers will go?
Well,
it's hard, I know.
I didn't mean to do it in front of a fan.
I know.
I just thought maybe if you sort of emptied out the feathers onto a screen.
A screen might be good.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Then out would come the, down would come screen feathers and all or something of that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's a possible solution. I thought maybe your pillow zipped, you know, like some of them do.
Oh, no, it's sewn up. But that gives me an idea, emptying it on the screen, sort of sifting it.
Yes, that's
maybe
what I
meant. Maybe a few at a time.
Sifting would be one answer.
Yeah.
Or a magnet would be another. But however, we have some very astute listeners on this line.
Okay, well, if I hear anything, I'd appreciate it.
Right, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye.
Somehow or other, everybody looks at me and laughs because I came up with two solutions.
Sure, you do.
They're not too skilled, but there's a way of going about it.
You could get another pillow cover, I suppose.
Why?
And then you dump it right in. You dump the needle right in the other one. And then you'd be, well, that's not very good either.
But it was an idea.
Yes, it was. Hello.
Hello.
This is Mike Lang.
This is Anonymous from Manchester calling.
Yes.
Have you had a recipe request yet today?
No, we haven't.
Well, I wonder if you have a layer cake made with German chocolate rather than the regular chocolate.
Uh-huh.
It's sweet chocolate.
Okay. Layer cake made with German chocolate.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see if we can find one for you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
That reminds me, there was a cake left here for the testing laboratory yesterday.
Well, you weren't supposed to know about it, Bill. That's the idea. It was left here later, see? I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Who saw it? Anybody see it?
Yes, Joe saw it, and Joe put it away.
Joe who? Joe Gooch?
No.
I thought you'd look up at him.
Our lovely telephone...
Operator.
And
answerer of calls.
Receptionist of Mike Line. So don't go telling him, Joe. Don't tell him where it is.
Watch that.
Can I have
small pieces of substitute type on
the
show?
Sure you can, boy. Here we go, ladies, with another basket of quality food values from our good friend Stickney Burke, 97 to 99 Ashley Street in Hartford.
Yes, this weekend, make it rib and pork roast. That should read rib and pork roast. Get yours for only 27 cents a pound. Or try lean, center-cut pork chops, only 69 cents a pound.
Whole baby pork roasts, now just 48 cents a pound. Have it cut up into chops or roasts, as you wish. And now for the big Thanksgiving feast coming up.
Yes, sir, it's way best time. And way best turkeys from 18 to 24 pounds, only 39 cents a pound. Or choose fresh Berkshire turkeys. 18 to 24 pounds, only 48 cents a pound.
Mom, stock up now on U.S. number one Maine potatoes. Big 10-pound bag, only 29 cents.
Delicious, vitamin-rich Sun Sweet prune juice in two large quart bottles at just 37 cents each.
I think that's just one large quart bottle.
But you can buy two.
Yes, 37 cents for the quart bottle. And top off the turkey with genuine Ocean Spray cranberry sauce. Get two cans for 49 cents.
Remember, you get double world green stamps Wednesday and stamps with every purchase at Sigourney Burke, 97 through 99 Ashley Street in Hartford.
They should never give a native of New Hampshire a combination of words like top off, because I want to say top off.
Well, don't get me started with the dialects. I don't want to add to the thing. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to know the proper way to clean a tent before putting it away for the winter.
A tent?
A tent. A green tent.
A green tent.
Mm-hmm. And I also have a question for Dave Rubin, if he calls in. I have a very nice lined oak table. And it has started to have very tiny cracks going with the grain of the wood.
What kind of table again?
A lined oak.
Lined oak table.
Lined oak, yeah. Right. And it has very small cracks going with the grain of the wood.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to know how to correct it and what I can do to prevent further cracking.
I see.
I would appreciate it if he did call in today, if you would ask him.
Okay.
I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is a great question. How do you clean tents? We just roll them up and put them away until the following year when we leave our campsite.
Yeah, but the Quartermaster Corps takes care of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, they probably do something.
The large vacuum cleaner.
Well, we have an engineer in our staff, Ted Broussard, who is quite a tenter.
He's a tent cleaner from way back.
I don't know whether he cleans it or not, but anyway, he's been tenting, and perhaps if he's still around, he can tell us. Unless he's gone out tenting again.
Well, the other part of that question was the lady wants to know how to prevent further cracking in a lined oak table.
Hmm. Well, okay. See if we can find out. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Mike Lang.
Yes, I know. I'd like to ask about that method of baking the turkey in a paper bag.
Yes.
When you bake the turkey, how would you make gravy from the drippings? if somebody would please answer that.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard Ed Anderson this week. Is he on vacation?
Yes, he is. Both Ed and Bruce Kern are on vacation.
I see.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Yes. Well, where does the gravy come from when you're roasting the turkey in the paper bag?
Well, Mike Line's coming from WTIC in Hartford, Connecticut, both AM and FM.
And
our telephone number is 527-4188 in the Hartford area.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell them the rest, because I'm...
Oh, all right. In Springfield, New Haven, and Hamden, you may get us toll-free by calling your operator and asking her for Enterprise 9842.
All righty. I'll take another call right here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Mrs. Capuccio, a Hartford listener.
Yes, ma'am.
And I have an Italian knitting machine, and the directions are not too clear to understand. And I was wondering if any of your listeners would have one, and if they would, please, the directions or instructions, and would they please give me the directions and instructions on how to run it?
I see.
It's a, you know what I mean, you can make sweaters and make a lot of different things on them there, and I'd love to get it running.
Okay, we'll find out if anyone along the line knows about this.
I wish you would.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please, and your program is beautiful. I love it.
Thank you very much.
I wish it on a couple of hours.
Well, we may need a couple of hours to get this answer. Okay.
Thank you, and nice Thanksgiving to you and all.
Thank you. The same to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Are these instructions in Italian?
I don't think so, no.
My shoes. She can't understand the instructions.
Well, somebody may be quite familiar along the line here on Mike Line with this and give us an answer before too long.
I suspect so. I suspect we will get an answer. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
I have a question.
All right.
It may be repetitious because I didn't quite make out what the lady said who called just... a few minutes ago. I have the radio turned down low in the other room so my daughter can hear my voice over the radio. But I wanted to know what the directions were for baking the turkey in the paper bag.
Yes, well, the question was, where do you get the gravy from?
Oh, I see.
Well, I know that you're supposed to use cooking oil and saturate the bag with it and then just put the turkey in it and put it in the oven. But from there, I don't know. We'll see if we can find out more about it for you.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
That goes in a pan, by the way. We had this day before yesterday, was it?
What goes in a pan?
Some lady on the line was mentioning. She says, you do put a pan.
Oh, yeah?
With the turkey in the bag and so forth. She said, otherwise the bag would break and the turkey would be all over. And I said, sure, I guess you do put it in a pan.
Oh, then you use the paper bag on Saturday, right?
Yeah, she didn't say that exactly like that, but well, I think,
Yeah,
I'm going to take another call now.
Would you do that?
Well, I think that went over. Good afternoon, Mike Line.
Hi, you got a mess with your turkey, haven't you? You cook that the same as you do with foil. The only thing is your cooking time in the paper bag is 15 minutes per pound.
I see.
But the last hour, you slit it right by the joint. You know, the thigh joint,
right.
And you test it there to see if it's done.
Uh-huh.
And that's in a 325 to 350 oven. Your dripping comes from the turkey itself. Don't forget to grease the turkey, too.
All right.
You know what I mean? And then
well, don't tell me now. Tell the audience.
Well,
I'll never try this.
You better go to cook it. I mean, I like the new method in foil myself.
Uh-huh.
See, then when you take your you sweat your bag,
uh-huh.
Remove your bird, and then just tip your bag into your pan.
Right.
And you got your drippings.
I see. In other words, this pan figures right throughout the whole process.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's to catch your dripping because, see, it steams it, too. Mm-hmm. And then your last, whatever time it is, you know, you're going to open your bag.
Right.
Then that allows the steam to escape and your turkey browns. A hint that I just received from the utility company. Put paprika all over the little monster's chest when you grease it. That'll make him browner. The lady with her knitting machine, try one of the arts and crafts department in the big department stores. For your question, the age on the dog, it figures out to 7 years because your first 2 years vary. They do live longer than they used to under certain circumstances. If you don't let Rover roam all over the street and if you watch his feeding.
Yes.
And
what about the ratio?
It mounts out to 7 to 1.
Still?
It still is 7 to 1 because when this came up, I called the vet for my little monster because they figure that a beagle is a puppy past his eighth birthday. Normally, they're 6 months to a year. They're then adults.
I see, yeah.
Now, with your keeping your cocker quiet, there is one out now that you don't need a prescription for. They are terrific, but you will have to experiment. Ranks. Mine's pushing the phone. You'll have to experiment with them to see what strength, depending on how tranquil she wants him.
I see.
Now, I know with mine, it's one, and repeat in 4 hours, another one. Now, that quiets him down, but it doesn't make him dopey. Now,
I see.
Mean, like, if he's going to the vet or when he was in training.
Right,
he got
right.
very upset.
Right.
But more than that, I mean, she'll have to experiment. They are good, and they're not, you know what I mean? They're not expensive, and they're better than the ones you have to have a prescription for.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Many, many thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there's the supply. We have answers that come over here on Mike Line, and that's what's wonderful about the show, because we can get them the same day in many cases, in most cases, and it helps us along here. So don't hesitate on any of our questions, if you have questions of your own, to add to the copper. 527-4188 in Hartford, and for
Springfield,
New Haven, Hamden. You call our enterprise number, which is 9842.
Referring back to the dog, I guess we've mentioned it once before, but it's worth mentioning again. You really should see the vet about anything that has to do with medicine or any of these things, just to make sure, because I know you love your dog and you wouldn't want anything to happen to him. Hello? Hello? Hello, this is Mike Klein. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, this is Mike Klein.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I have a question, and I have a little information for you.
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Wilbraham, Massachusetts, and I'm paying the toll charge.
Well, go right ahead then.
First of all, what is the first letter in the name of your program? I've been listening to you for months, and I still don't know it.
M as in mother.
M as in Mike, okay.
All
Mike
right,
Line.
Mike.
I figured it might be that.
Uh-huh.
Now, this peg game that you fellows have been talking about for a week seems to have stirred up a lot of interest among the old-timers, anyhow. Now, I can give you a bit of information that other part of the country that you haven't heard from, and that's the Maritime Provinces.
Fine.
I grew up there.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of that game was M-U-M-B-L-E-L-Y, Mumbly Peg. We played it exactly as you play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
The object was to make the pig jump in the air and then hit it.
Right.
Now, if you missed the pig completely and it did not jump, it still counted as a strike.
Oh, did you still get three strikes as you do in baseball?
You still got three strikes.
Uh-huh.
If you made the pig jump and you didn't manage to hit it when it was in the air, you had to play the pig from wherever it landed.
Oh, I see.
And it was a game that was restricted to mostly younger boys.
Yes, well, I can
imagine. Once they got old enough to play baseball, they put the Mumbly Peg aside.
I can imagine.
So that was the way it was played up in the Maryland Province, and that's what we call it.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
And give us a call again.
Right
on. All righty. Bye-bye. Well, that's nice of him to call all the way from...
Well, one of the boys was just saying here, our director, that in his boyhood it was an application or a variation of the same thing, and they called it Peggy.
We call it Pegball, now that I realize what it is.
But it must be a derivative of the same thing or the same game with just different calling.
And your pronunciation was right, according to this gentleman. Mumbledy Peg. Mumbledy Peg.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad we had that call. This is what happened on Mike Line. Let's see what we've got here. Question or answer on Mike Line. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Mrs. Jolly of West Hartford.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
And I, too, have an answer for the lady who wants to make the gravy out of the bag.
Good.
Now, as I understand it, the bag has a processed lining that holds in all of the juices. So after the turkey is removed, the grease, or not grease, but gravy, though of course there is some grease to it, is poured into the dripping pan.
Uh-huh.
And from then on, it's thickened, and the gravy is made from there. And a little card comes with this bag, and it says, no guess, no peek, no poke. You leave it in for the prescribed time, something like 20 minutes to a pound. And then when the time is up, just open it, take the gravy out, and there's your turkey all done.
Voila.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is even more information. It's always welcome this time of the year because everybody's starting to.
Well, I hope I'm not confusing anyone. There's been so many answers.
No. This was very clear, and for which thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
I know.
That was a nice, concise definition, and it just makes me begin to think, and my mouth begin to water, and well.
I'm with you, too. Hey, you know that puzzle jackpot is really getting into the big money league in the Hartford Current. Remember your date with the money-paying puzzle in Saturday's Current. Sunday brings you the king-size Current with TV Week. Get it. And get these phone numbers we have here, 527-4188 in the Hartford area. And for New Haven, Hampton, and Springfield, call us toll-free. Ask your operator for Enterprise 9842. Mine? All right. Hello?
Hello.
Yes?
I have a question.
All right, sir.
I'd like to know when is the best time to trim young maple trees.
When is the best time to trim young maple trees?
Right.
All right, we'll ask, and if anyone knows, we'll invite them to call us today.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
And thank you. Yes, bye-bye. When is the best time to trim young maple trees?
Floyd, I have something rather important from the WTIC newsroom in the form of a bulletin. President Kennedy is reported to have been wounded by an assassin in Dallas, Texas. There are no further details available at this time. We repeat, President Kennedy has been wounded by an assassin in Dallas, Texas. We will have further details as received. I'm sure everybody joins us in deploring this regretful news.
Oh, I should think
so. But we'll bring details as soon as we possibly can.
We certainly will. We'll stay right on top of that. All right, let's see if we can continue on with Mike Lyon here while awaiting any more news from our newsroom. Hello?
Oh, golly. Isn't that awful?
It certainly is.
Well, I got the recipe. This is Roz Fishman.
Yes, Roz. Okay.
Oh, my. That just took my breath away.
Did ours too.
So.
Well. One package, it's for the, with the German sweet chocolate.
Yes, yes.
One package of the German sweet chocolate.
German sweet chocolate.
Okay. Oh, I can't get my breath, my goodness. 1/2 cup butter or margarine.
1/2 cup butter, okay.
1/2 cup boiling water.
1/2 cup boiling water.
2 cups of sugar.
2 cups of sugar. Will you hold it just a minute, Roz?
Sure.
We have some.
Here are further details from the WTIC newsroom. President Kennedy and Governor John B. Connally of Texas were cut down by an assassin's bullets as they toured downtown Dallas in an open automobile today. The president, his limp body cradled in the arms of his wife, was rushed to Parkland Hospital. We will give you further details as received.
Well,
this rather changes the complexion of many, many things at this time, and it looks as if we have two national victims here, the governor and the president. At this first reading, this is a very regretful thing, and the kind of news which I'm afraid is a little bit more than I care to analyze, but we've got to be on the job anyway. We'll continue along, Floyd.
Well, Roz, you're right in the middle of a... Well, a terrible thing here. Perhaps we'd be best to just keep right on going as best we can, and we'll stay on top of the news as best we can here.
I don't feel like it. Can I?
Yes, all right. I understand it. I think that's smart. Okay.
Well,
give us a call when you can.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Bye.
Well, this has got to be the worst. We had a good spirit here, but... our responsibility here is to bring you information as soon as we can. Now, we don't want anyone to get the wrong idea on this. At the moment, it's a very unfortunate and tragic historical circumstance that the president, along with Governor John B. Connally of Texas, were cut down by assassin's bullets as they toured down Dallas in an open automobile today. We're waiting for momentary news, and we're going to try to bring you...
All right, let's go to NBC.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Oh, well, in just a moment,
yes, now,
we will go to NBC for later news on the happening at Dallas.
You can understand our confusion at this point.
So stay with us, and in just a moment, I'm sure NBC will have more details on the assassin's attempt on President Kennedy in Dallas earlier this afternoon.
And entering the scene here, we have another wrap-up
And how about that one, Floyd?
Well, this is from AP. The first one was from United Press International. When the president was shot, Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed him. She cried, "Oh, no." The Secret Service ordered the motorcade to speed on to a nearby Parkland hospital. Associated Press reporter Jack Bell says the president and Connolly were shot as the motorcade entered a triple underpass, which we said earlier. And something even further. A bulletin. Representative Albert Thomas of Texas says he has been informed that both President Kennedy and Governor John Connolly of Texas are still alive. Well, that's the first heartening news, if you can call it that. At least this has been said. They are both still alive. Well, we invite you to stay tuned now because we will have news from NBC coming up in just about 50 seconds from now. And we hope that we will find even more heartening news at that time.
Well, certainly, I would say it's been a pleasure to be with you today, but unfortunately, I guess I got here in time to spend the afternoon with you and get this news as it's been received a little bit more here.
Thomas made a statement outside the emergency room in which both Kennedy and Connolly were under treatment. He said he had been told the president is still alive but in very critical condition.
See you Monday on Mike Line.
This is WTIC, AM and FM, Hartford. The time now is 2 o'clock.
This is NBC News. Here is Peter Hackett in Washington.
President Kennedy has been shot. As of now, there is no final official report on his condition. Here now, pieced together, the news items we have as they have reached us from Dallas, Texas. Within the hour, President Kennedy and Texas Governor John B. Connolly were cut down by would-be assassins' bullets as they toured downtown Dallas in an open automobile. Representative Albert Thomas, Democrat of Texas, says he's been informed the president and Governor Connolly were both still alive after having been shot in an assassination attempt. Thomas, standing outside the corridor of the emergency room in which both Mr. Kennedy and Connolly were under treatment, said he's been told the president was still alive, but in very critical condition. The president, his limp body cradled in the arms of his wife, was rushed to Parkland Hospital. The governor also taken to Parkland. A Secret Service agent, Clint Hill, a man assigned to protect Mrs. Kennedy, said he's dead as the president was lifted from the rear of a White House touring car, the famous bubble top car, which was sent to Dallas from Washington. He was rushed to an emergency room in the hospital. Other White House officials who were questioned about it say they were in doubt. The corridors of the hospital, of course, in pandemonium. The incident occurred just east of a triple underpass facing a park in downtown Dallas, Texas. Associated Press reporter Jack Bell reports three shots were fired as the presidential motorcade entered a triple underpass in Dallas that leads to the Stemmons Freeway. After the president was shot, the Secret Service waved the motorcade on at top speed to the nearby Parkland Hospital. Here in Washington, the White House press office said at 1:45 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that it has nothing beyond press information on the shooting. Kennedy apparently was shot in the head. He fell face down in the back seat of his car. Blood was on his head. Mrs. Kennedy cried, "Oh, no," and tried to hold up his head. Governor Connolly remained half-seated in the car, slumped to the left. There was blood on his face and forehead. The president and the governor were rushed to the hospital as quickly as possible. Mr. Kennedy was to have made a speech at the Dallas Trade Mart, not far from the hospital. Reporters about five car lengths behind the chief executive heard what sounded like three bursts of gunfire. Secret Service agents in a follow-up car quickly unlimbered their automatic rifles and their pistols, but the damage apparently has been done or had been done. We switch now for a direct report to Robert McNeil, NBC News, Dallas.
President Kennedy was shot at today by a gunman from a building along the route as he drove through downtown Dallas. He has been rushed to a hospital bleeding. Texas Senator Ralph Yarborough says the president is seriously wounded. Mrs. Kennedy, who was sitting beside him in the open car, was not hurt, but the governor of Texas, John Connally, was also reported wounded. As the shots rang out, three shots as the motorcade went by, people screamed and lay down on the grass. Police immediately fanned out over a wide area. They found several witnesses, including a small boy, who said he saw a man in the window of a building overlooking the parade route with a gun in his hand. President Kennedy is now in the Parkland Memorial Hospital. An accurate estimate of his condition has not been given. Congressman Yarborough of Texas says only that the president is seriously wounded. This is Robert McNeil, NBC News, at the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Texas.
The Secret Service says the president remains in the emergency room. The governor has been moved to the general operating room of Parkland Hospital in Dallas. One Secret Service man was overheard telling another, "There is no need to move the president because emergency facilities are entirely adequate in the emergency room." Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room where the president is, one identified as a Father Huber. Again, the president and the governor of Texas have been shot, both in critical condition in Dallas, Texas. Peter Hackett, NBC News, Washington.
This is WTIC, AM and FM, Hartford. This is Dick Bertel. In place of our usual Americana program this afternoon, we are going to present a program of music in order to keep you completely informed on the condition of President Kennedy, shot down this afternoon in Dallas, Texas. We hear from Montavani and the orchestra, Moon River. This news from Hyannisport, Massachusetts. President Kennedy's mother and father have been advised that their son was shot in Dallas. They are in Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room where the president is. A White House spokesman said someone had asked for the priests. This news from the WTIC newsroom. We're going to continue with music by Montavani and the orchestra on this Friday afternoon, as we wait for further details on the condition of President Kennedy, shot in Dallas, Texas today, as we hear Beautiful Ohio. In just about 15 seconds, we're going to switch to NBC for a special hotline bulletin. Please stand by. We now take you to NBC.
Now here is Edwin Newman, NBC.
The latest word on President Kennedy's condition comes from Representative Albert Thomas of Texas. He says he's been informed that Mr. Kennedy is still alive, but in very critical condition. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the room where Mr. Kennedy is lying. Here is a bulletin just in. President Kennedy has been given blood transfusions at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. That is where he is lying. This is an effort to save his life. The president is at Parkland Hospital after the assassination attempt against him and Governor John Connally of Texas. The president was shot in the head. Governor Connally was shot in the chest. He has been taken to the operating room. The president remains in the room to which he was originally taken because emergency facilities there are said to be completely adequate. To repeat, the president remains in the emergency room at the Parkland Hospital in Dallas because emergency facilities in that room are considered to be perfectly adequate. The president has been given blood transfusions in an attempt to save his life. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to that emergency room. A White House spokesman said someone had asked for the priests. We have not yet been told who sent for them. To recapitulate the day's events, a sniper shot President Kennedy and also Governor John Connally of Texas, with whom the president was riding as they drove through downtown Dallas today. Mr. Kennedy apparently was shot in the head, and he fell face down in the back seat of his car. It was an open car. Blood was on his head. Mrs. Kennedy was by his side. She was not hurt. She was heard to cry, "Oh, no," and she tried to hold up the president's head. Governor Connally remained half-seated, slumped to the left. There was blood on his face and forehead. There was also blood on his chest. The president and the governor were then rushed to the Parkland Hospital near the Trade Mart in Dallas, Texas. The president was to speak at the Dallas Trade Mart in the course of his 3-day visit to Texas. Today was the second day. Blood was spattered all over the limousine, which had been flown in especially to carry the president in the Dallas welcoming parade. Secret Service men at once drew their weapons, but it was too late to prevent the damage that had been done. I repeat, the president is still alive, but he is said by Representative Albert Thomas of Texas, one of his hosts in Dallas, to be in very critical condition. The corridors of the hospital are described by those who are there as in pandemonium. At the height of the drama in the emergency room where the president is lying, a weeping Negro woman bearing a small, bloody child rushed into the hospital. A nurse and an intern went quickly to her side. Mrs. Kennedy, as I have said before, is safe, but she is stunned by what has happened. Mrs. Connolly also appears to be safe. She is stunned also. We will, of course, continue with our news bulletins moment by moment as they come to us. We now join the facilities of NBC Television for a simultaneous broadcast. NBC correspondent Bill Ryan is speaking.
Window of a building about a block away from the cars. There are other reports that a man was seen with a high-powered rifle. There is no indication yet that whoever fired the shots at the president and the Texas governor has been found. The word from Parkland Memorial Hospital is that President Kennedy is being treated in an emergency room of the hospital, that he has received blood transfusions, that he is in critical condition but alive. There is no word on how many times he was struck by bullets or where he sustained the wounds. Now, we are going to attempt once more to return to station WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas, and newsman Charles Murphy.
There is no definite word yet that the person who fired the shots at President Kennedy and Governor Connolly in Dallas has been apprehended. We have just received this report, though. Moments ago, authorities took a young man into custody. They took him to the county sheriff's office near the Triple Overpass, near where the shooting occurred. The man was neatly dressed. He's in his early 20s. He is protesting vehemently his innocence, and he says that he has witnesses to prove that he is innocent. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room where the president is. A White House spokesman said someone had asked for the priest, but did not say whom. Blood transfusions have been administered to President Kennedy. Governor Connolly has been moved to the general operating room. Repeating, just moments ago, authorities have taken a young man into custody in Dallas, but there is no definite word that this is the person who might have fired the shots at President Kennedy and Governor Connolly. Charles Murphy reporting from WBAP-TV, Fort Worth, Dallas.
These additional details from the hospital in Dallas. Officials at the hospital say the president has been given a transfusion of B-positive blood. They are calling for fresh blood of that type to have it ready if additional transfusions were needed. Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, the wife of the vice president, was escorted by Secret Service agents into the emergency room where the president is being treated. Now for Washington reaction to this tragic story, we go to NBC News Washington and David Brinkley.
Bill, there isn't a great deal as yet because obviously the news has just got here. It was taken to Congress, which of course recessed immediately to wait to see what has happened. We've checked with the White House, which has told us it doesn't know any more than we know and in fact has been listening to us to see what it could find out. The president's brother, Edward Kennedy, Teddy Kennedy, was on the floor of the Senate and was informed of the news by the Senate Democratic leader, Senator Mike Mansfield. The only word beyond that we have is that Senator Kennedy didn't know at the moment whether he would go to Texas or not. Beyond that, again, there is no particular or unexpected reaction here yet because most of Washington has just found out about it and is shocked and stunned along with everyone else. The White House, again, has no more information at the moment than we have. We'll stay here, of course, ready to bring you any at the moment it arrives. In the meantime, we'll switch back to you, Chet, Frank, Bill.
This is NBC News with the last-minute word on President Kennedy's condition. For that, we switch to Alan Bickley, station WFAA in Dallas.
President Kennedy has been shot during his tour of the city of Dallas, Texas. A presidential aide, Larry O'Brien, said he had no information on whether the president is alive, but later reports indicate from Parkland Hospital in Dallas that the president
is alive, although said to be critical. This is an unconfirmed report that the president is critical. Texas Governor John Conley also was shot, has been taken to surgery in Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas. When the president was shot, Mrs. Kennedy jumped up and grabbed him, crying, "Oh, no." Then the Secret Service ordered the motorcade to speed on to the hospital. Apparently, from witnesses at the scene, we can deduce that the attempted assassination was committed by a slender white young man, about 30 years of age, probably from the vicinity of the Texas Book Depository building in downtown Dallas. Police and Secret Service men have now cordoned off that building. The center of downtown Dallas is in a virtual state of siege. They are combing the floors of the Texas Book Depository building in an effort to find the suspected assassin. This is Alan Bickley reporting for NBC News.
There has been an unconfirmed report, and I stress an unconfirmed report, that Vice President Lyndon Johnson was slightly wounded during the attempt on President Kennedy. One spectator said he saw Vice President Johnson walk into the hospital holding his arm. That is the first word we've had on that, and we have no official indication that Vice President Johnson has been hurt. To repeat, the latest word we have is that President Kennedy is still alive, but in critical, very critical condition. That word comes from Representative Albert Thomas of Texas, who has been one of the president's hosts during his intended three-day visit to Texas. The president is in the emergency room. He has had blood transfusions. More blood of that particular type has been called for by the hospital. It is B-positive blood drawn from the hospital bank. Fresh blood has been called for by the doctors to have it ready if additional transfusions are needed. Governor John Connally of Texas, who was riding with the president and was wounded at the same time that the president was, has been taken to the operating room. Mr. Kennedy continues to be in the emergency room. Facilities there are said to be adequate. We will be back with additional information as soon as we receive it. This is Edwin Newman, NBC News. I beg your pardon, I am told to continue because there is a bit more information. At the hospital in Dallas, police have been quickly posted in the corridors leading to the emergency room. Secret Service agents are on duty and have turned reporters away 40 feet from the door of the emergency room where the president is lying critically ill. Now, for reaction here in New York to the news of the assassination attempt against President Kennedy, who is in critical condition in Dallas, Texas, we switch to Joseph Michaels at the Stock Exchange in Wall Street.
The Stock Exchange itself has just suspended trading. A Board of Governors meeting was called by Keith Funston immediately after the terrible news was received, and the decision after the market was running slow and it tumbled about 2.5 points, 12 minutes behind on the ticker, with many issues suspending immediately, was that the market itself should suspend. I'm down here at Wall Street. There are lots of people here. Perhaps we can talk to some of them. Excuse me, but did you hear the news, sir?
Not quite. I couldn't hear. I was standing all the way out here.
How about you?
I didn't hear anything. I said, come on.
Did you know what happened?
Yes, I did.
How do you feel about it?
I don't know. It's dark.
Very big. Very.
Terrible shock to the country
and everything else. I don't know. It's unbelievable to think something like that could happen.
Do you think it's a dangerous thing for us all?
I certainly do.
Where was the FBI? How do you think the street will react to this, sir?
Well, I guess the market will go down. It always does on tragedy.
It's more in critical condition,
so we hear so.
Do you think this will have any serious effect on the market, sir?
On what?
On the market?
I doubt it.
Why?
Well, I'd have to think, but I doubt very seriously.
The general condition of people here was that the ones that we've talked to so far was that this is an awful thing.
This is Edwin Newman, NBC News in New York. We have an interview with an eyewitness to the shooting of President Kennedy in Dallas. I must repeat now, the president is still alive, but is described as being in very critical condition in the hospital in Dallas. He has been given blood transfusions. Two Roman Catholic priests have been summoned to the emergency room in the hospital where the president is lying. Now, We're going to let you hear an interview with an eyewitness to the shooting that took place in Dallas a short time ago.
What is your name, ma'am?
Jane Hill.
From Dallas?
That's right.
And did you see the shooting, miss?
Yes, sir.
Can you describe what happened?
Yes, sir.
Can you do that now?
They were driving along, and we were the only people in this area on our side, and the shots came from directly across the street from us. And just as the president's car became directly even with us, we took one look at him, and he was sitting there. He and Jackie were looking at a dog that was in the middle of a seat, and about that time, two shots rang out just as he looked up. This is the president looked up, and these two shots rang out, and he grabbed his chest, and it looked like he was in pain, and he fell over in the seat, and Jackie fell over on him and said, "My God, he's been shot." After that, more shots rang out, and the car sped away.
Now, what kind of car was that?
What kind of a car was it? The president.
Oh, no, I mean, where did the shots come from?
The shots came from the hill.
From a hill?
Yes. It was just east of the underpass.
Uh-huh. And,
we were on the south side.
Could you see, did you look up there where the shots came from, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Could you see anyone?
I thought I saw this man running, but I looked at the president, and, you know, for a while, and I looked up there, and I thought I saw a man running. And so, right after that, I guess I didn't have any better sense. I started running up there, too.
Uh-huh. And what is your name?
Jean Hill.
G-E-A-N?
G-E-A-N.
G-E-A-N, what's your address, Miss Hill?
9402 Bluff Creek.
9402 Bluff.
This is the NBC newsroom in New York with the latest news about the assassination attempt on President Kennedy. The president is in Parkland Hospital in Dallas, where an attempted assassination against him was executed about an hour ago. The president is in very critical condition. He apparently was shot in the head. Mr. Kennedy has had blood transfusions. Two Roman Catholic priests were called to the emergency room where he is lying. We do not know who called them there. Governor John Connally, who was in the car with the president, also was shot. He has been taken to the operating room in the hospital. An assistant to Governor Connally said he asked him how it happened, and the governor replied, "I don't know. I guess from the back they got the president, too." The governor was shot just below the shoulder blade in the back. There had been a report that Vice President Lyndon Johnson was slightly wounded. We now hear from Mrs. Lyndon Johnson, the vice president's wife, that the vice president is fine. Asked whether her husband had been wounded, she shook her head negatively. Mrs. Kennedy was riding with the president when he was wounded. She cried, "Oh no," as she saw him shot and cushioned his head as he fell. Now, for the latest details, we switch live to station WFAA in Dallas. This is the NBC newsroom in New York. We try again to get the latest details from station WFAA in Dallas. We're having trouble making connections with station WFAA in Dallas for the moment. We now join the NBC television network telecast for the latest information.
Anxious members of the White House staff gathered, including Major General Chester V. Clifton, military aide to the president, and Brigadier General Godfrey McHugh, the Air Force aide. Mrs. Evelyn Lincoln, the President's Secretary, Pamela Tenure, Press Secretary to Mrs. Kennedy, and other members of the staff were shown to a special waiting room not far from the emergency room area where the President was lying. As Frank McGee has reported on direct word from our correspondent in Dallas, a crowd is gathering outside Parkland Hospital in Dallas.
Okay. There's also this, Chet, repeating what we got from Fort Worth, that sheriff's officers have taken a young man into custody and are questioning him, but there is no indication that any charges have been placed against him. There is no indication that he is directly involved in this attempt on the life of President Kennedy and Texas Governor John Conley.
Bill, I think we have a picture of the President and Mrs. Kennedy as they arrived in Dallas this morning, and I have some fragmentary copy on the first speech which the President delivered in Dallas. This is the picture of the President and Mrs. Kennedy.
I think the camera that has you, Chet, is the one that would have to get the picture.
I'll hold it up over here. This is the picture of the first family, or the President and Mrs. Kennedy, rather, arriving in Dallas only a couple of hours before the assassination attempt. The first speech that the President delivered in Dallas, speaking in an area where supporters are booming Senator Barry Goldwater's chances for the Republican nomination, the President said that ignorance and misinformation, if allowed to prevail in foreign policy, handicaps the country's security. This was a speech prepared for the Dallas Citizens Council, the Dallas Assembly, and the Graduate Research Center of the Southwest. He did not specifically mention Senator Goldwater by name. The President said, in a world of complex and continuing problems, in a world full of frustrations and irritations, America's leadership must be guided by the lights of learning and reason, or else those who confuse rhetoric with reality and the plausible with the possible will gain the ascendancy with their seemingly swift and simple solutions to every world problem.
Chet, there's also this. In Washington, the two presidents' brothers, his two brothers, Attorney General Robert Kennedy and his younger brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, are on their way to Andrews Air Force Base. They will fly to Dallas. Additional details from the hospital. Vice President Lyndon Johnson has not been injured in this attack on President Kennedy and Texas Governor Conley. The Vice President is somewhere in the same hospital where the President is being treated, Parkland Memorial in Dallas. It is reported he is badly shocked by the shooting, that doctors are trying to keep him as quiet as possible, and that he is under heavy Secret Service and police protection. It's also noted that throughout the trip in Texas, when the President and the Vice President have been in the same motorcade, they have been kept in separate cars, a precaution against just such an attempt as was obviously made today. Chill.
I referred a moment ago and read an excerpt from the speech which President Kennedy delivered to a breakfast crowd this morning earlier. The breakfast crowd of 2,200 people rose in ovation after the speech, and a few minutes later, the President said he felt like he did in France 2 years ago when he identified himself as the man who accompanied Mrs. Kennedy to Paris. You have anything else, Frank?
Yes, there was just a... Excuse me just a moment, John. There was just word from the hospital that they had dispatched a call for a neurosurgeon, I understand, would indicate that one of the two had been hit in the head, would it not?
Well, either the head or possibly some spinal damage. There is also this. Understandably, in a situation like this, the information comes in fragments and comes from unexpected places and uncontrolled angles. Senator Ralph Yarborough, Texas Democrat, who was in a nearby car when the attack took place on the President, said he saw the President's lips moving at what he called a normal rate of speed while Mr. Kennedy was being rushed to the hospital. How much it means, we do not know.
This is Edwin Newman in the NBC newsroom in New York. This information from Dallas. President Kennedy was given the last holy rites of the Roman Catholic Church today. That was, of course, after he was shot down by a would-be assassin while he was riding in a caravan through downtown Dallas.
A Catholic priest who helped perform the last rites said he did not believe the President was dead. The Catholic priest, in other words, said he believed the President was still alive. The priest left the emergency operating room at Parkland Hospital, where the President is lying, and walked out of the hospital. We hear from Washington that Attorney General Robert Kennedy and the President's youngest brother, Senator Edward Kennedy, are on their way to Andrews Air Force Base to catch a plane for Dallas. Also in Washington, the director of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, has, of course, instructed the Dallas office of the FBI to make an all-out investigation of the attempt on the life of President Kennedy and of Governor John Connally of Texas. Governor Connally was shot in the back below the shoulder blade. Here is a flash from Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds suffered in the assassination attempt today. I repeat, a flash from Dallas. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he is dead of bullet wounds. This is the latest information we have from Dallas. We are, of course, standing by to give you all available information as it comes to us. I will repeat with the greatest regret this flash. Two priests who were with President Kennedy say he has died of bullet wounds. Now we join the NBC television network for the latest news.
Now, there apparently is word that this AP flash, this report from the two priests, that the president has died of bullet wounds, is confirmed. We will attempt now to get to station WBAP-TV in Fort Worth, Dallas, for confirmation. We go to newsman Tom Murphy.
Substantiating this, but not confirming it, is a report about 5 minutes ago by the Dallas Police Department to all of its officers that the president had died. Some 3 to 5 minutes later, the AP flashed that two priests at the hospital say the president is dead. Charles Murphy, returning now to NBC in New York.
From two sources. Again, it is not...
Right. We have NBC's Bob McNeil on the line now with a report. Please go ahead, Bob. White House Press Secretary Malcolm Kilduff has just announced that President Kennedy died at approximately 1 o'clock Central Standard Time, which is about 35 minutes ago.
After being shot... By an unknown assailant... During a motorcade drive through downtown Dallas. The president died... Approximately 25 minutes... After the attack took place... He had been rushed, bleeding and unconscious... To the Parkland Memorial Hospital in Dallas... And was given blood transfusions. About 15 minutes ago, reports NBC's Bob McNeil from Dallas, to whom I'm talking now.
A priest emerged.
After having given the president...
The last rites. Just before the announcement of the president's death was made... Vice President Lyndon Johnson... Emerged grim-faced... And was driven away with a police escort... To assume... The constitutional responsibilities... Of the presidency... A casket... Has just been brought into the emergency ward... Of this hospital... For President Kennedy... The attack took place... As the president was just completing... What amounted to... A triumphal drive... Through downtown Dallas... Encountering the largest... And in some ways the most friendly crowds... Of his two-day Texas tour... Dallas police... Had put into effect... The most stringent security precautions in the city's history... Because they had anticipated... There might be some demonstrations... Against President Kennedy... Similar to those which marked the visit... Of U.N. Ambassador Adlai Stevenson... On October 24th... Mrs. Kennedy...
Who was sitting beside the President...
In the open car...
Was not hurt...
However, the Governor of Texas... John Connolly... Who was also in the car... Was wounded, reportedly, in the chest...
And more blood...
Further supplies of blood... For transfusions for the governor... Have just been brought into the hospital...
The shooting came...
The shooting came...
According to witnesses... From the second floor... Of a building called the Texas School Book Depository. Which is about 100 yards...
From
the tree-lined parkway... On which the president was driving when the shooting occurred. Three shots were heard. Frank, that's about all I can tell you at the moment.
Bob, thank you very much. We'll keep the line open.
Okay, we'll keep the line open.
That was a report from NBC's Robert McNeil at the hospital in Dallas, Texas, confirming by way of word from the White House press secretary that President Kennedy is dead.
The death, according to Malcolm Kilduff, who was acting as the president's secretary on this trip, came roughly 39 minutes ago at about 1 o'clock Dallas time. There is further word that Vice President Lyndon Johnson was taken from the hospital and he was not wounded. He has been taken from the hospital off to a secluded place. He will assume the constitutional duties succeeding now the late John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the former president, the late president of the United States.